This is the FCB Radio Network, home of the best personalities and where real talk lives. Online at FCBRadio.com. FCB.
Great things is what they drop, dog. Food chain says top dog. We don't listen to y'all, this the outlaws. We don't listen to y'all, this the outlaws. Make them scream out loud like a sound dog. Cause a ruckus in the crowd like a foul ball. Tune in, it's the charge for the outlaws. Tune in, it's the charge for the outlaws.
Welcome to the Outlaws, the first new episode of 2022. This is Darby Oda Kingpin Marl alongside Robin O'Malley and Dante Bry. Don't forget to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/TheOutlawsRadio. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at TheOutlawsRadio. We have a very special guest on the show that we'll get to first, that we'll get to in a little bit. But first, Miss O'Malley, Happy New Year.
I had to get my microphone off of you. Darby, let me just tell you how amazing the year already is. It is just a big old blessing already. We ain't even what? We are a week in, and yep, your girl already doing big things. So I look forward to the year.
Absolutely. I'm excited too about the year as well. First of all, I want to send a special shout out to our listeners. As a matter of fact, last month was our biggest month for downloads of the whole year. Our numbers are up year to year period. I'm really appreciative of all of you who've been riding with us from the beginning, or people who have recently joined our family. We appreciate it. I'm looking forward to big things in 2022. We have a lot of cool stuff going on that y'all will find out about a little bit later. Dante, Happy New Year, sir.
Happy New Year and happy birthday, brother.
I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it. Working on my birthday, putting that work in. But this, when you're with family, it's not work. So it's all good, man.
You got to go to the... I can't wait to go to the basketball courts with you one day. You know what they're going to call you. You know what they're going to be like, give me school. I'm a rock out with school. You know that's what they're going to... You know that's where you... You at that territory. And it's funny, man, because I'm only 27. But somebody, like one of my younger homies, was like, yeah, because you like one of my older homies. I'm like, what? I'm
27. Yeah,
I'm
good.
A young man.
Good.
Oh, so,
look, I say that to say, if at 27, I'm somebody's older homie, well, you school. That's what we're going to start calling Darby on the show. Send any... Change your Twitter handle to school.
So it looks like we're going to be looking for a new member of the Outlaws. Y'all, ladies and gentlemen, you see the abuse that I have to take, particularly because, of course, he's the youngest one in the group. But again, y'all got to let him know, you know, once you pass 25, you owe to everybody underneath you anyway. So now that you somebody else's big homie. So that's the way it goes, brother. That's the way it goes. And also, real quick, someone else in this show has a birthday coming up too. Is that right?
That's me.
Hey, Team Capricorn. That's what's up. That's
Ghost what's up. Season.
All right, we are going to go to our guest right now. We have a very special guest on the show today. She's been on this show before. Singer-songwriter extraordinaire Alexis Marrero, welcome back. How are you?
Thank you so much for having me. First off, I'm so excited to be back, and I'm doing great. How about you?
Good, good. Happy New Year to you, first of all.
Yes, Happy New Year. It's crazy. 2022.
Right, 2022, right. Absolutely. So it's been a while since you've been on, so just catch us up.
Yes.
On what you've been doing, what you got going on.
Absolutely. So it's been a couple of years since I've been on the show, but I just released a couple of songs last year. I released my latest single, Are You Strong Enough? It has over 350K on YouTube, about almost 200,000 streams on Spotify, which is huge. Like, I can't believe the success that's going on with that. And also my song Rich AF has been doing really well. So a little summertime vibe, even though it's winter. But I've just been releasing music, and I was a part of the Boys of Summer tour last summer. So that was super exciting. I got to open up the Los Angeles show, which was the first show of the entire tour. And I opened it, which was really, really crazy. But a surreal moment for me, for sure.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Talk a little bit about that tour. So who was on that tour?
So it was a lot of influencers. People like Peyton Mormayer. He was like the headliner, Avi Angel, and a bunch of TikTokers were a part of the tour as well. So there was TikTokers, and then there was a whole show that a bunch of artists, up and coming artists, got to go on, and we would perform while the TikTokers would do skits, you know, in between. So it was really cool, and we got to do a meet and greet. So I was signing autographs and everything after the show, which was really, really crazy. I've never done that before. But I just remember meeting like 400 or 500 people per show. And it's surreal, because people who've never heard of you, you know, get right. to hear your music for the first time. And that was something really, really exciting for me.
So what was that experience like, as you have people that are now introduced to your music who didn't know your music before? And I'm sure a lot of them became fans as well. So like, what was that experience like?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was crazy. I haven't performed on a stage in years, so I really didn't know what to expect. But people came up to me and were like, I am such a huge fan of your music now. Like, I remember this little girl DMing me, was one of my fans, and she's like, I'm coming to the show. And it's just like so crazy, because you meet a bunch of new people who have never heard of you. And all these people are coming up to me after, and they're like, I'm going to follow you on social media. Like, I can't wait for new music. And that was something that was so special, because, you know, I talk to people, especially over quarantine. I've done so many Instagram lives, and I did a quarantine concert series of free Instagram live concerts. And, you know, the reaction is so different when you get to go in person, and the energy, the applause I got, I was like, wow, these people are really into my music. It was special, for sure.
Wow. That's awesome. Yeah. Awesome. So for people who are listening to this, who may not be familiar with your music,
yeah,
give them, like, if they want to have a crash course into your music, what is like the top two or three songs
should listen
to immediately, and
wow, why? Well, for sure, Are You Strong Enough? For me, something that new listeners who want to check out my music will find out is I really like to blend the genres in my music. So if you don't like someone who's structured under one thing, my music is for you. Are You Strong Enough is so unique. I combined four different genres in it. And that one is something, if you're really into like rock, EDM, pop type beat, that's your song for sure. It's very emotional. Rich AF is a good pop summertime song. I always tell people about that one. And a third. Probably, yeah, something that I missed. It's a good like TikTok song for sure. But it's got that same EDM pop sound. And I think that also would be something that people would really enjoy.
Awesome. So make sure you all check out her music. She has some really, really good songs. So
Thank you. Make sure
you check that out. Absolutely. So we were kind of joking a little bit off the air about, you know, losing all this time because of COVID and stuff like that. So I know obviously everybody in entertainment had to adjust dramatically as a result of COVID. So like, how did it impact you? What were you able to do to make sure that you didn't like lose momentum and still like keep connected with people? How did COVID impact what you've been doing?
Yeah, so COVID was definitely interesting, especially for me as an artist who I'm not, you know, big or anything. I'm just a small independent artist at the moment. Definitely.
She got over 200,000 followers on Instagram.
I know,
she's talking about she's a small independent artist.
Yeah, yeah, okay. It's crazy. But, you know, that was something for me that like was different. You know, I'm used to going out to LA every month and recording songs and doing things out there. So it was definitely interesting to be at home. But what my mom and I honestly were able to do was I took to social media, honestly. I went live every single day. And as I mentioned a little earlier, I did a series. We called them Quarantine Concert Fridays. So every Friday night during quarantine around like 7:30, I would hop on live for like an hour and I would perform a whole concert each week, new songs, and people gravitated towards it because there nothing was going on. I mean, we all know there was nothing going on. So you were at home every single day. So my mom and I, we just started doing these quarantine concerts and people really loved it. I mean, my fans loved it. I gained a lot of new fans from it. And I think that's how I coped with COVID the most was the concerts.
Yeah, absolutely. Shout out to your mom too. Your mom is awesome, by the way.
She's incredible. So that's always helpful because she has great ideas too. So yeah. I'm pretty sure she came up with that idea. I'm not going to lie. We loved it and we stuck with it.
Right. Awesome. So I know we were talking about this a little bit off the air. There's a lot of stuff that you have going on that you can't discuss yet,
yes.
But for some of the stuff you can discuss, what are you working on right now?
Definitely some new music. I don't know when, but new music is in the works and, you know, in discussions. Also, you may see me on tour at some point this year. I have no confirmation of what's happening, but I will be on some sort of tour, whether I'm back on Voice of Summer tour or maybe I'll be opening up for a headliner. We'll see. That's the big goal. But that would be something really special for me. So those are a little couple of plans, but definitely new music and live performances.
Was that a hint right there you just gave?
Potentially. little sneak peek. But yeah, that would be huge. So
awesome. So like for people who aren't familiar, I know you said you kind of like to blend genres.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about your style and your style of music and like what people can expect from your music.
Totally. So for me, honestly, it's hard because I've always loved pop, but I love to blend the genres. I was inspired by like Elvis Presley growing up, and he could do everything. So I kind of took to that. And I think for me, my style is kind of all over the place. One minute you're hearing a very strong ballad and the next is some summertime pop song. And then here's a EDM moment. And then I have soul songs and, you know, there's a lot of different things that you can expect from my music, which is exciting to me because, you know, I think that some people, you know, everyone has their genre that they like, but with my music, some people can, you know, I think there's something for everyone in my music. So expect a little bit of pop, but definitely a lot. I love ballads and I love to write songs that just, you know, I write songs that are stories from my life or my friends' lives and my family. And I think that I love to just inspire people through my words. And that's something that's really huge for me is a lot of messages to my music.
Right. Absolutely. So when we first talked, it was fairly at the beginning of your career. Like, and, you know, you've grown leaps and bounds. You've had a lot of success, a lot of great opportunities. So for people who are listening to this, who would, you know, want to try to do the same, what advice would you give for someone who was you 2 years ago?
I would honestly tell them, if you have a dream and you have the talent, go for it. It's also like, it's so much about your passion, but also the team that you surround yourself with, I think is something huge. So if you're trying to pursue anything in the entertainment business, definitely find a support team. For me, it's my mom and my manager, Brandon. I love him. I think they're huge support systems for me, but also you just have to kind of stay strong, you know, because a lot of people are going to tell you you're not good enough and you have to keep pushing. I've been told that I would not be able to make it as a singer, and I pushed through that and I'm here right now. I'm doing so many different things. And I think you just have to kind of know in your heart that if you have a passion, then you need to proceed it. You need to go for it, because everyone's going to tell you to not do it. Everyone's going to tell you this, you need to have this look, you need that. Just chase after your dreams and go for it and surround yourself with good people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let everybody know how to follow you on social media, how to listen to your music, keep up with what you got going on, all that good stuff.
Totally. So you guys can listen to my music. I'm on pretty much all streaming platforms, just Alexis Marrero. My YouTube is Alexis Marrero. My Instagram and TikTok are both official Alexis Marrero, as well as my Facebook.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much for coming back on and spending some time with us. I'm really, really proud to see your success.
Thank you.
I'm excited to see you continue to grow. I'm cheering you on. We're cheering you on. So we're really happy to see how you've grown leaps and bounds from when we first talked.
Thank you so much. And thank you so much for having me on again. It's always great talking to you, especially now that we get to catch up after so many years. I'm just so thankful and I'm really happy you had me back on.
Absolutely. Our door is always open. So when you're ready to make some announcements, you can come back and see us.
Yes. Too. Oh my gosh. Yes, definitely. For sure. I would love that.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more of the Outlaws after this.
Can we just talk? Can we just talk? Talk about where we're going before we get lost. Let me your thoughts. Can't get what we want without knowing. I've never felt like this.
Hello, family. I'm Bruce Hagans.
And I'm Rashima Hagans.
And we are The Hourglass. Our show is an entertaining and informative podcast examining life, love, relationships, and more through a Christian perspective.
So join the family. Subscribe to The Hourglass, an FCB radio podcast on Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Real talk, real conversations. We got the heat.
Giving it real.
Hell yeah.
This is the Outlaws Radio Show.
Welcome back. Welcome back. You're listening to the Outlaws once again. Want to send a special shout out to Alexis Marrero for coming on the show. We really appreciate it. Make sure that y'all follow her on social media and listen to her music wherever you listen to music. All right, so it's one thing I want to talk about today, and I want to get your thoughts, both of y'all, on this, because it's really pissing me off. It's too early in the year for me to be this irritated. But I'm irritated for two reasons. I am irritated at the Chicago Public Schools Teachers Union. And I'm irritated at the Ohio school districts, 100 of them, that have sued to get rid of the state's voucher program. So let's go to Chicago first. These teachers, the teachers union, I'm gonna say that, not the teachers. The teachers union has moved the goalposts every single time when it comes to going back in the classroom and teaching students in the classroom. Every time they've come up with another excuse after another excuse after another excuse as to why they should not be in the classroom teaching these kids. Even though we know that COVID has a low, 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 low risk for children. We know that. Not only that, each school in America has gotten at least $1 million from the federal government for COVID mitigation. And y'all still need more stuff? If your kids don't get don't have masks, get a mask. If you need tests, buy tests. Do whatever it is you have to do to keep these kids in school, because it is hurting it's hurting the children's development. It's hurting their social development. It's hurting their emotional development. It's hurting their development in school. We know this. You have doctors and psychiatrists that are finally starting to say this publicly, that it is not a good thing for these children to be outside of a school setting for long periods of time. There are some schools that have reported that children emotionally and socially have like regressed a year or two, and they have to learn how to socialize with each other all over again. There is absolutely, in this day where we have over 90% of the teachers in Chicago are fully vaccinated. Why the hell can they not be in the schools? It is outrageous to me. You're putting pressure on those kids. You're putting pressure on those parents, especially lower income parents who maybe can't afford daycare, who need their kids to go to school so that they can go to work. Because if their kids aren't in school, they can't go to work. And you have people in the teachers union, when the last shutdown, they were taking trips, bragging about the stuff that they was able to do because they didn't have to be in the classroom. What the hell is that? And then in Ohio, they decided 100 school districts, including Cleveland Heights, University Heights, they decided to sue to eliminate the state of Ohio's school voucher program, alleging that it unfairly takes money away from them. Okay, so first of all, it's a clear way, this lawsuit is a clear way to say that you don't give a damn about those kids, because they would be perfectly fine if they win the lawsuit to have those children kicked out of their schools that they're going to right now. And many of them are actually in school because a lot of the charter schools and the private schools are actually open. I digress. But they're okay with getting those kids kicked out of their schools right now. All for money. You don't give a damn about these kids. It is all about who is this system supposed to serve? Is the system supposed to serve the children? Or is it supposed to serve the bureaucrats who are sucking at the government peat for a living? Who is it supposed to serve? The bottom line is this. If your school is a great school, it will be a school of choice for a lot of parents. Parents will choose to send their kids there. If your school sucks, then parents should be able to send their children to a school that doesn't suck. And their income and zip code should not determine the quality of education that their child receives. We all know that education is the key to getting out of poverty. And when you want to trap a kid in a failing school and tell their parents, just wait until we get our ish together, I promise it'll be better soon, you are locking that child into generational poverty. You are making it much, 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 much harder for them to get out of poverty. I tell people all the time, my parents chose to send me to private school. And I'll tell the story why a little bit later. They chose to send me to private school. They had to pay out of pocket because my folks made $100 too much. Well, when I first started going, there was no voucher program. And then when the voucher program became here in Ohio, I was like in the fifth grade going into the sixth at the time. My parents made like $100 too much, but we were still in poverty. So my parents had to pay out of pocket. But from day one, particularly when my mother's plant, when she worked for General Motors, closed down, I grew up in poverty as a result. But there are so many countless opportunities, doors that were opened for me as a result of the education that I had. Because it's not just about the education, even though my education was excellent. It's not just about the education. It's also about the social circle that you get introduced to. Everybody knows that in this world, it's not about what you know, it's about who you know. So a lot of times opportunities come to you based off of the people that you know. Well, if you don't know anybody, you're climbing up to the ladder of success is even harder, because most likely if you're like me, who grew up in poverty in the hood, you didn't have an uncle so-and-so that you could call that was the vice president of the bank. You didn't have an aunt such and such who had a prominent position at working for City Hall or something. If most people grew up like me, you didn't have that. Going to the environment that I went to school in was the great equalizer. A lot of opportunities I've had today have come from people that I grew up with in those schools. So to want to throw all of that away because you feel like you ain't getting enough money is complete and total garbage. Dante.
Sorry in advance, Darvio. So I feel very strongly about the voucher program, especially here in Ohio, because I'm a product of it, right? Again, sorry in advance. I am a product of the voucher program. It's called Ed Choice here in Ohio. Luckily, yeah. My mother was able to get in touch with it. And you know how? It's ironic because the school system that I was in the 10th grade, in a lot of trouble, there was a woman at the school board that told my mother about it. And that's what essentially rescued my high school career, because I was on a path to nowhere. So when I hear that these schools, I'm trying to really phrase this properly, but I can't. It is inherently anti-Black, and it is inherently anti-low income. If you are standing in the way of students, mainly Black and Brown students, bettering and furthering their education and enhancing their social skills and their social circle, I have to call you what you are. And I have to call you what your behavior represents, and your behavior would represent that you are anti them. Here's why. You are standing in the way of their education. You just are. No, your school is not going to get better. With more money, your school doesn't get better. With more finances, your school is failing because of you. I've learned that for the most part, it is the bureaucrats and the teachers union that fail to educate students. Why? Because in public schools today, they teach to a test, because a certain percentage score on a test keeps the funding in. That keeps students dumb. It keeps them lacking critical thinking skills, and it teaches them how to be employees and robotic. So I've come to the conclusion, just from seeing that in schools and talking to educators, that the teachers union and the education system, that's what's failing students. So if your school is failing, it's because of you. And that school needs to be allowed to fail, because in a free market, Darvio, the only way that things correct is after they have failed. Students do not need to be held responsible for the failures of adults, and parents need to be able to have autonomy over their children's education. Parents should not be penalized in the form of their children's education because they lack resources. No, the resources are available. So parents should be allowed to use those resources, which is essentially just the taxes that they pay, right? That's the crux of what the child of what the voucher program is. A certain portion of your taxes that the parents pay go to essentially the child's education. That's the very basics of it. A parent would then be able to take a portion of the taxes that they pay and use them for their child's education if they feel like the city or the municipality that they live in doesn't meet their requirements. Why would you take that away from the parent? Because you're greedy. And quite frankly, because you know you'll fail without it, right? You know if you run a bad business, you know if you run a bad school, you know if you don't care or not. And, you know, again, Darvio, sorry, but, you know, teachers unions are some of the worst that we have, right? I'm not a big union guy in general, because for the most part, they generally protect the worst and they don't protect the best. Well, I mean, that's what we have with most teachers unions, right? Like I'm sorry, but if you have I'm not even going to name any names. If you have certain school districts, we know who they are in the area that we live in. You know the bad schools and where you live. But if you have situations like that, why is the teachers union still fighting for certain teachers? Because that's what unions do, right? And that's what the teachers union does, right? So I'll sum this up and just say certain schools should be allowed to fail, and teachers and students and parents should not be on the boat with them when they sink. They should be allowed to have the freedom of choice to be able to get out of a failing situation.
Robin.
Huh. That was a lot. But, you know, as a parent, a single parent, you know, first and foremost, I would not be able to afford to put my child or my children into any type of special school. And, you know, there are times where I have said to my children that, you know, eventually we'll get there. And, you know, there's times where we say that. There's times where we have no choice. And if, you know, with them, if they're trying to take the school away, or, you know, have kids do homeschooling or take away any type of programs, you know, just as Dante was saying, you know, like, we pay for that. And, you know, if they're failing our children, that is their fault. You know, like for my daughter, for instance, you know, she's a very intelligent child, but, you know, she had some F's, you know, in this school year. And that is because of the teacher that she has is not teaching her the proper way that she needs to be taught. But I feel like, as far as the pandemic, you know, like, you know, if they need to shut schools down or whatever, if that's what it is, that's what it is. You know, I mean, I'm not going to get too much into the whole, how you were saying, Darvio, about the vaccine thing, because, you know, we're not going to go there.
Yeah, you will get us.
I say you go for it, Robin.
No, don't listen to him. He's, he's the one always tells you to get in trouble. But go ahead, Robin.
I want to say either way it goes, in my personal opinion, either way it goes, I'll just say this. Vaccine, no vaccine. COVID is still catchable either way.
Yeah.
If you're vaccinated, you're still going to catch it. And if you're not vaccinated, you're going to catch it. Either way, you're going to pass it along to the next person. So truly, I send my children and I make sure that I am on their case. You keep that up, that mask up on your nose, and you wash your hands consistently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you touch chairs, anything that, you know, somebody else touched, I ain't saying go crazy, you know, but keep yourself safe. Because, you know, we had COVID and that was not fun. It was not right. fun. So, but, you know, it also falls on us parents as well to guide our children as well.
Yep. Absolutely. All right. Stay tuned. When we come back, we have Tea Time with Ro here on the Outlaws.
This is the Outlaws Radio Show.
Welcome back. Welcome back. You listen to the Outlaws. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcast. And if you listen to this show on Apple, please make sure that you leave us a 5-star review and a comment, please. It's very important for the algorithm. And for those of you who have already done so, thank you oh so very much. Now, before we get to Tea Time with Ro, I saw this story on Instagram and I was real curious. Because I don't know how I feel about it. And so I want to get y'all opinion quickly on this. So there is a coach, a girls basketball coach, this is in Connecticut. He was the coach of a school named Sacred Heart Academy. He got suspended. And the school issued an apology after its girls varsity basketball team beat another school, Lyman Hall, 92-4 Monday night. So the statement from the school was, Sacred Heart Academy values the lessons taught and cultivated through athletic participation, including ethical and responsible behavior, leadership and strength of character, and respect for one's opponents. Last night's girls basketball game versus Lyman Hall High School does not align with our values or philosophies, Sacred Heart Academy president Sheila O'Neill said in a statement released by the school. Sacred Heart Academy administration and athletics are deeply remorseful for the manner through which the outcome of the game was achieved. We are in communication with Lyman Hall High School, the Southern Connecticut Conference, and CIAC, and are addressing these concerns internally to ensure that our athletic programs continue to encourage personal, physical, and intellectual growth. Sacred Heart coach Jason Kirk was not available for comment Tuesday, and athletic director Raymond Deegan said he had nothing more to add to the statement from O'Neill. Sacred Heart Academy is 3-0 and led 29-0 after a quarter, 56-0 at halftime, and 86 after three quarters. Lyman Hall is 0-5. So the CIAC handbook under its Class Act sportsmanship standards states coaches will be aware of the competitive balance of contests and will manage the score in a manner that is sportsmanlike and respectful of opponents. Dante, you know I'm coming to you first.
And you know what I'm going to say. You know that I am an old school sports fan, which means I don't believe in mercy rules. I don't believe in participation trophies. I believe that you can take lessons from winning and losing. And sometimes for children, it's necessary. The mercy rule thing, I don't care if they're 5 years old or 25 years old. If you lose a game 96-4, you need to understand why. You need to get better. This is, and I'm about to sound like an, I'm about to sound way older than I am, but it's true. This is why our children are soft. This is why the next generation is not prepared for a crisis, right? I always wonder what happens if we go through a Great Depression. Our children aren't prepared for it because we give them participation trophies, and you know, we say, "Oh no, we don't want you to lose by that many points." God forbid if they ever had to deal with something serious, they couldn't deal with it because we protect them. Oh no, we don't want them to lose that badly. Let's only lose 30-6 versus 96-4. What difference does it make? You still lost. It doesn't matter. Like, you, certain times you need to build a toughness, and you need to understand that you don't win everything. And in life, you will take losses, but it's how you respond to them and bounce back from them that make you a special person or not. But this coddling of children, it weakens them, man. It really does. Yeah. So, you know, I talked to an old head when I was in Vegas one time, and he was like, you know, the Chinese are going to win. The Chinese are going to win. They're going to win the culture war, and they're going to win the war in the future because our children, we're soft. I mean, the fact that you would suspend the coach for winning the game because he didn't do it. That was considerate enough of the other team's feelings. Darvio, come on, man. As somebody that grew up playing sports, come on, man. That's insulting.
Robin, how would you feel if one of the girls on the team that won was your daughter, and come to find out now the school is apologizing and suspending the coach for winning too much?
Oh, you know, I don't know how I'd handle that, you know, too well. I would probably run off at the mountain. Because, I mean, first and foremost, you're teaching these kids, you know, wrong. You know, poor sportsmanship. You know, and like, you know how Dante was saying, it was making me think, you know, like, losing, it really teaches you how to get through life, and how to grow. Use your downfalls as growth, to make you better, you know, and that's why you really have to put in that effort to be better. So, like, basically, like, cheating by suspending them is it's not doing anything for them. It's not helping them grow as individuals. They're not going to know how to make it through life and grow from things, bad things that happen in their life, or, you know, things that don't go their way. Basically, everybody is a brat. So I would definitely feel some type of way if my child was, you know, if she was a winner. No, we gonna make sure she get her win because she did that.
Uh-huh.
Period.
Absolutely. All right. I saw that story and it was like crazy to me. So I figured it would be crazy to y'all too. So now let's go to tea time with Ro.
Turn it up. I don't see no competition. The latest celebrity news and gossip. So you better ask permission. It's tea time with Ro on the Outlaws Radio Show. If you wanna roll
with me. So, we actually have, so everybody has heard about Antonio Brown. He had walked off of the field. And, you know, a lot of people are saying things about him with the NFL. And so Antonio Brown says that the Buccaneers pressured him to play with a broken bone fragment that in his ankle during the game. Against the Jets. And he actually has the receipts, y'all. Like, he has the receipts. He shared them. They are all over social media where the coach is saying, like, there are no breaks during the game. And So really, like, should he take this L, or like, is he gonna lose this whole thing with the NFL? Is he wrong? They out here saying that he's blessed in the NFL on social media. Is this the end of his career?
So I'll give my thoughts first, and then I know Dante probably has a lot to say on this. right now, like, he could be first of all, yeah, his career's probably over. There may be a team that will talk themselves into giving him another shot. But he has clearly demonstrated on multiple occasions, on multiple teams, that he does not play well with others. So it's, you just have, you know, you got that, you ever got that, like, one friend who don't get along with nobody? That's who he is. He falls out with everybody. So there's that. But also, my issue, even if what he's telling is true, and it adds more context to why he did what he did, he still shouldn't have behaved the way he behaved. He looked like a damn fool out there, taking his jersey off, taking his, you know, throwing it in the crowd. Like, you quit on the team, right on the field. And not only did you quit on the team, you made a huge spectacle out of it. I don't respect. Like, even if there was an issue and you're like, I can't play this no more, I don't want to be on this team no more, finish the game and then quit. Or just go back to the locker room. Sneak off to the locker room. But the way he showed his ass on that field, to me, that was just, there should just be a certain level of decorum and professionalism and respect. You know what I mean? This is still your job. You know what I mean? So that was the issue that I have with that. Now, what he's saying, if it's true, it adds more context to it. But I still don't feel like he should have did it the way he did it. Dante.
So, you know, this is one of those situations, and it happened frequently in sports, where I believe both sides have a point, and I believe both sides are wrong. You know what I mean? So, like, I think both sides have, there is right on both sides and there is wrong on both sides. Right. So
yeah,
Antonio Brown is probably hurt. I firmly believe that. I believe him. He does probably have the broken bone fragments. I mean he missed 6 weeks earlier in the season with that. He absolutely is. I also believe that he handled the situation incorrectly, right? But I also believe the Buccaneers probably pressured him to play. Their coach Bruce Arians is an old school kind of, he strikes me as get out there and rub some dirt on it type of thing. He does, right? But so Antonio is right in saying that, yeah, they probably pushed him to play. The Buccaneers are definitely right, I believe, in saying that, look, when we got to New York, we scheduled two different MRIs for him, and he didn't go to either one. That seems like something Antonio Brown would do as well. It also seems to me like, so you know, there's wrong, I think, on both sides. I understand it from both sides, right? Where Bruce Arians was like, look, man, you didn't do what you needed to do, and now you want to tell me you're not going into the game? Well, you're fired, essentially. And he cut him on the sideline. And so Antonio Brown, which I also understand, said, okay, well, I'm gonna leave, right? You don't get fired from your job and say, well, can I just stay for the rest of the day for my coworkers? No, you kick me off the team, I'm out. I totally get that. I totally get that. I think there's wrong on both sides. What I don't like is Antonio Brown, the media circus. Antonio played for my team for 9 years, as you know. And it's more the same, right? He can't help himself. I wouldn't say that he's done just yet, because he's still, when he's healthy, he's still really good. Like, he's still really good. So he might get another shot. But, you know, he's just one of those guys where he's just a, he's just a weird dude, man. He really is. He's just a different breed. I will also say, though, that I think people should stop on the internet with this whole CTE stuff where, you know, he's crazy and all that type. That to me is just dismissive and a little, and quite frankly, a little dangerous. We don't know if that guy has brain damage or not. He's from Florida. You know, just to put it nicely, again, he's from Florida. They normally beat march to the beat of their own drum anyway, Floridians. Right. So I don't like this whole he's got brain damage, the CTE jokes. I'm uncomfortable with that. I would just say, like, there's probably wrong on both sides, and it's probably best for both that they're not involved with each other anymore, even though they both will miss each other because the Bucks need him. And that might have, that could be Antonio's last shot because Brady was his rabbi. So,
right. So before we go to break, I know, Robin, I know you said you had the, you got the receipts. So he put out some text messages, right? Or some screenshots of the text messages.
Correct. What so from the coach, it said, this is BA. Make sure you're ready to go tomorrow. We are not resting for the playoffs. He says, I'm all in, coach. Really can't get to full speed. I want to win. Want to be there. If I wake up tomorrow feeling better, I'll be ready. Kind of rolled it out outside in 2-point play. I want what's best for the team. Let me know when you're free. I'll call you. And he sent him a picture of him in there seeing the doctor and getting his foot rolled out. And first and foremost, athletes' feet are very ugly. But I mean, really, I think that I don't know the full story, but obviously you guys just gave me a little bit of the 411, but I think that his receipts really give him kind of an upper hand.
Yeah, I can see that. I just don't think he should have showed his ass on the field the way he did. Dante, you have anything to add on the way that athlete's feet look?
No comment on anybody's feet.
All right, we are going to go to break, and Dante's hot takes. Get your popcorn when we come back here on the Outlaws, first one of the year.
Yo, what's up? Bring the noise right here, Chuck D, Public Enemy number one. You are tuned in the Outlaws Radio Show.
Yeah, this is Chris Gotti, and you're listening to the number one radio show, the Outlaws. You heard me? Adventure Music supports Chris Gotti. Go check him out.
What's up, y'all? It's your girl, comedian actress Coco Brown, and you're listening to the Outlaws Radio Show.
Yo, what's good? It's your boy SNMJT, and I'm with Outlaws.
Welcome back to the Outlaws Radio Show.
Doing a lot of that tonight.
Welcome back to the Outlaws. Dante is already apologizing off air, so I know he's going to say something crazy. Now it's time for Dante's hot takes. Hot kids, hot wife.
Telling the truth, whether you like it or not. It's Dante's hot takes on the Outlaws Radio Show.
So, I don't know if anybody's following this or not, but you know, the president's vaccine mandate for all workers is being challenged in two separate cases in the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court heard oral arguments today from state AGs and in a separate lawsuit as well, challenging the vaccine mandate by the president. Essentially, the crux of the argument against the president's mandate is that the federal government does not have constitutional authority to dictate to states and private workers that they take a vaccine. That is the crux of their argument. I believe it is a good argument. I believe that is all this case should be about. Does the executive branch at the federal level have the authority to dictate to free people what they do with their bodies? I believe that should be open and shut. I actually don't think that it's even that hard. excuse me. Unfortunately, and I want to think about how to phrase this properly, we have some idiots on the Supreme Court. Let's start with the activist judge, who is just not very bright and is not very intelligent and clearly not very impressive. Let's start with Sotomayor. She decides to go on this activist propagandist tangent that is where she's spewing out things that's not even true. She asks, members from the government, one of her quotes was, "Don't we know by now that the vaccine prevents people from getting COVID and prevents you from spreading it?" That's not true. Why she would say that, I don't know. Again, it's probably because she ain't that impressive, she ain't that smart, or maybe she's brought and paid for. I like that one too. Maybe it's all three. She then she spews out a nonsensical fact that doesn't even sound true, where she says there are hundreds of thousands of kids on ventilators in hospitals. She argues and asks if it's true that the Omicron variant is more deadly than the Delta variant. Where she's getting this stuff, it's almost like she got, it's almost like somebody from Pfizer has an earpiece in her ear just telling her to say stuff, just stupid stuff. CNN wouldn't even say something that dumb. But she decides to go forward with it. Again, what does that have to do with the case? Nothing at all. But because she's an activist judge who doesn't belong on the bench, this is what you get. Then on the other side, we have Clarence Thomas going on essentially an anti-vax tangent where he's like, I've been told, and this is a quote, he says that he's heard and that he's been told that people 18 to 49 are better protected without the vaccine. I don't know where he got that from. I have not seen or heard that. I'm sure some people may agree with him. We're not going to go there. But again, what does that have to do with the case at hand? And this is what I believe is the problem when you appoint activist judges or when the court becomes very partisan. Instead of doing their job and protecting citizens from overreach by the government, all you are there for is to interpret the law. But instead of doing that, we have members on the court carrying out agendas. What are the liberal judges doing cartwheels for Big Pharma? Why are they doing this? Because they were appointed to do so. And then you have, of course, conservative judges who have to, you know, play that game because they're not going to one-up me. So all in all, who loses? We do. Because the last branch of government that was supposed to be nonpartisan, that was supposed to not be crazy, is clearly just as crazy as the other two. Dark Bio is laughing because he knows I'm right.
I was laughing because that was a very interesting way to put it. Are you good?
Yeah, I think I'm good.
Let them know how to follow you, sir.
Really quick, Darby, when Darvio doesn't respond or doesn't, because we agree on a lot of things. So when he doesn't say anything, it's because he also doesn't want to agree publicly. But I'm sure off air, we'll discuss this. You can follow me at Tay Bry on Twitter and Instagram at TAEBRYE.
Robin Dante showed his whole ass today. Just let him know how to follow you, Robin. Unmute yourself, Miss O'Malley.
My bad. I'm over here just, you know, giving you my Instagram and y'all ain't hearing me.
Let's try it again.
Yes, y'all can follow me on Instagram. Now that you can hear me, you can follow me on Instagram at Real Robin O'Malley. And you can follow me on Twitter at Real Robin O.
All right. And you can follow me at D the Kingpin everywhere. That's D-T-H-E-K-I-N-G-P-I-N. One more time, shout out to Alexis Marrero for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. We are out of here. See you next time. Peace.
The FCB Radio Network. First-class broadcasting worldwide.